Ladies, thank you for inviting me back. When Rhonda said, you want to come back, I thought, really? Do they want me back? So anyway, thank you. She told me that you just finished the book of Acts. And any time and every time we study the Word of God, we learn so much about Him and about us. If we are in Christ, we are all part of His plan. Being part of His church, we're partakers of the past, of the present, and the future. That alone gives us a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose, and Christ the groom preparing His bride. Have you noticed how Christ takes ownership of His church? You know why? Because every single soul that came to Him has been given to Him by His Father. He is preparing the bride for His Son. Since this book, the book of Acts, is about the birth of the early church, it serves as a historical account documenting how the church was born, how it grew, how it matured, and how it changed. So this also speaks to us personally. We're born in Christ. That is our regeneration. Then we begin the process of maturing. That is the process of sanctification, which leads us to grow, to change, renew, restore, and heal to the final step, that is glorification, when we go to the presence of the Lord. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. The church was born to the mission of Christ. It started with 12 disciples who took the good news to the world. This continues to be our call. So we go from the local body to the community, to the city, to the state, to the nation, and to the world. The books of Acts, we could say more accurately, that is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, working through the apostles, especially Peter and Paul. This tells me that if it was the Holy Spirit working through the apostles, then through this day is the Holy Spirit working through us to accomplish the will of God, what He is commanding us to do. So I want to ask you, ladies, what was the thing that impacted you the most when you studied the book? When you studied this book, what is something that impacted you the most? And I need some volunteers, otherwise I'm going to pick one.
Rhonda, that I loved the last part of Acts, and it was kind of a cliffhanger. When you're like, what? What happened? You know, he's just there in, you know, this house. But I loved, and I have to write this down because I'm going through menopause, so I have menopause brain, so I can't remember anything. Paul was still who God called him to be, even though he wasn't where God said he would be. And he went through all these things, and you're like, God, couldn't you just throw him a bone? You know, he went through imprisonment. He went through the shipwreck. He went through, you know, getting bit by a viper, and he just shook it all off, you know, and he just kept persevering through all these obstacles to, at the very end, where the cliffhanger, like, what happened? But he was still in chains, but he still got to preach freely. And I kind of, it just kind of hit us as, like, we're all in chains, and, like, the shipwreck is God. You know, the ship is God, and we have to throw all of our baggage overboard to get where Paul was at and speak freely and, you know, preach freely, even though we still have chains in our life. And so it just, I loved the last part of Acts. You know, I was a little discouraged with the cliffhanger, but then I really thought about it and, you know, it came to me.
Thank you, Shauna. Who else would share what they brought home from Acts this year? Can you hear her? That he's taking me where I need to go. Okay. Thank you, Karen. Anybody else?
Okay, we need more volunteers. All right.
Actually, one of the things, I reread through the book of Acts this past week, and I was struck again just how Paul was talking to the people in Athens about God, the creator of the universe and everything in it. He walks through all the things God done. He also says, and put you to live in this certain, he picked the place for you to live. So he put you where you are. And I just was like, huh. You know, whenever you start thinking, what am I doing here? What's my purpose? You know, especially if your kids have all moved out, right? Or whatever, you're just different seasons. And I just was like, he really does. He put me here. You know, it's not just I'm here waiting. He put me here. So it was just something that was great reminder to read through again and just remember, seek him, keep walking forward in what he's put in front of me, and then pop into wherever he's working so that you can be blessed and be a blessing to others.
And we're so glad that he put you here, Elizabeth. I love your smile at that information table. Anybody else? Somebody else? Okay. Thank you, Deborah.
The thing the Lord's been speaking to me the most about this year is immediate obedience. You know, Paul just walked out in obedience to the Lord. And I'm this very fearful person that, you know, if I've got a backup plan, I might go ahead and go for it, you know. But one of the things that Linda said one week that the Lord really hit me with was, sometimes you just got to cut that lifeboat loose. Just step out there. Just trust him completely. And there's been several incidences in my life this year that the Lord's really helped me work through, and I just did it. And I'm like, why was I afraid? Why did I think I had to have a backup plan? I just obeyed, and it was wonderful, and the Lord blessed me for it. And so it's this obeying immediately and not trying to rationalize things out and just trust him with it. So.
For me, the book of Acts is a book of reminding myself that I have to wait on the Lord, and I don't have to know the answers, and I don't have to understand why, but just trust him and just keep waiting on the Lord and persevering no matter what. So.
One of the things in Acts that impressed me was wherever Paul went, there were Christians that he had seen before, and they were there for him. His spirit was uplifted when he came to Rome, and everyone came out and loved on him. And I think that's what we need to do with our Christian friends, is that love on each other.
Thank you. I feel a lot of love from you, Peggy. Your smile.
Amen, ladies. You see, I mean, I know that many of you would like to say something, but you're a little shy. But kind of this, you're going to see that the power of the Holy Spirit is acting in each one of us. And it's not us, it's him. But I know each one of you have a testimony. I know that I can see it in those smiles, and I can see it in those faces. So we can see this book is full of miracles, sermons, events in which we witness the transition from Judaism to Christianity, the Mosaic law to the grace of the church age. Acts serves as a bridge between those two eras. is a historical book recording transitional events unique to this era. When I say transition from Judaism to Christianity, I did not say replacement. This book also emphasized prayer, emphasized the sovereignty, that one, of God, and the missionary call to testify about Christ to the world. So now I have a volunteer here, not really. I made her do it. So she's going to read Romans 10, verses 14 and 15.
How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And now can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Okay, so we witness how the working of the Holy Spirit changes the lives of believers. Remember in the Old Testament when we read about the Holy Spirit coming to people, for different reasons, for different purpose, but it was only temporary. But then we see in Acts 2 how the Holy Spirit begins a new ministry. He permanently indwells in the believer at the moment of faith, baptizing them into the body of Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is what identifies us with Christ and with another believers. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowered the apostles and the early church believers to witness boldly and perform miracles. The Holy Spirit is the source of power in every believer to carry out the mission that Jesus gave them. And with that, I just want to tell you that when the Lord called me to teach in English, I was not very obedient. I was saying, Lord, look at all these people that they know a lot more than I do, and they don't have an accent.
Beautiful accent.
Wouldn't it be better for them to do it? But you know what? When the Lord calls you, he equips you and he empowers you. So this just listening to me talking is really a lot of the words that sometimes I can't pronounce, like sovereignty, hey, I did it. You see, some of those is just the Lord is always helping us trust in him. When I was coming for here, I was praying and saying, okay, Lord, I need you to help me. And he gave me so clear this word that I'm not speaking to you. I'm giving back to him what he put in my heart to share with you. So you see, that is what we do. When we do it and to him, it goes from him through me, back to him. And he's the one that is putting in each one of your hearts that word that will not return to him without accomplishing what it was sent for. You see, and that's the beauty. I don't have to worry. Why? I just have to trust him. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and justice. And he guides all the believers to what? To glorify Christ. So if the Holy Spirit is doing the work in us, then you know what? I am free from performing. Completely free. Why? Because I follow his guidance. The words in me will be also what he has for me to say. Then rejection or acceptance don't belong to me. You see, that is freedom. complete freedom. But the opposite happens if I is not done in the spirit. Then it's me doing it. Then I have to take responsibility for the outcome. So the best way, ladies, is Holy Spirit, teach me and use me. That makes us free. I don't have to compare myself with anybody, and I don't have to take anybody else's ministry. Why? Because the Lord, he has something that is specifically for me. And you know what it says? That he has created those good works before the foundation of the world. He has good works for me. He has good works for you. So through the messages of Peter and Paul, we learn that they always emphasize salvation by faith alone, through Christ alone. And it's by grace, not by works. Why? So no one can boast. I don't know how many of you were you here when I did the teaching on Mary. So I come from the Catholic background, and we do a lot of works, right? But in here, in this book, is when we realize that works don't have anything to do with salvation. The works come after we have been saved. So in Acts 1:8, the volunteer.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Okay, and then Acts 28:31.
That was quick. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Okay, thank you. So we see from chapter 1 of Acts to all the way to chapter 28, the message is the same, right? To preach the gospel. Also in this book, we see from the beginning, the church was properly laying the foundation. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, laying the right doctrine base for edification of the saints. So we believers, we are the living stones. It's in this foundation alone that our Christian life is carefully being built. The materials we use in building represents the quality of the works of the believer and how he lives his life. Building with gold, silver, precious stones symbolizes works that are valuable, enduring works. What believers do after they have been saved, all as a result of our abiding in Christ. How do we abide in Christ? By having communion with him, daily communicating with him. Like Pastor always said, we don't have a religion. We have a relationship that is daily being manifested in our communion with him. A few years back, John and I went to a counseling session, counseling visit. We went to see a counselor. So the first question that the counselor asked, starting with me, he says, how is your communication with your husband? I thought about it and I thought, it's okay. You know, we talk about the kids, we talk about the schools, if you had any problems that they need to be resolved. Then he asked me, how do you commune with him? we both realized that we didn't know what he was talking about. So I went to read the definition of commune. Is to talk or converse intimately with someone, often in a spiritual or personal way, with profound intensity, interchanging thoughts or feelings. And then I thought, wow, what a difference, right? It is a big difference. We didn't know then. When I look back, I realized that my communication with the Lord was also in the same level. I came to tell him all my problems, my husband's problems. He had a lot of problems. And then I told him how to fix it. Right? I'm so grateful for his patience, his discipline, his enduring love. He loved me in spite of, but he loves me enough not to leave me the way I am. In 1 Peter 6, 1, verses 6 and 7.
Got it this time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
So what is Peter saying in this letter is that the trial, the problem, adversity, a setback, coming to the end of ourselves is going to help us recognize our dependency on God. Recognizing that I am the creature, the creation. He is the creator. Also speak of our works being tested by fire. What does this represent? Represent the Bema Seat Judgment. What is this? Is when believers will stand before Christ to receive rewards or suffer loss of rewards. This is not a loss of salvation. No, it's not a loss of salvation. That was settled when we believe in Christ, when we receive him. This is the evaluation of the works of the believers and the rewards they will receive based on their faithfulness and motives as they live a Christian life that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, motivated by love for God, producing also fruit, all the fruits of the Spirit. Where do we see this? I always like to give you the scriptures with whatever it is that I am. So in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 15.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon these foundations gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abideth which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10. She's doing so wonderful, and I'm so grateful. You know, know, the very first time I heard about the Bema Seed Challenge, I was so confused. But, you know, as we study and as we receive the teachings of the Bible, we begin to see how serious the Lord takes the works that we do after we have been saved, right? And because of the workings of the Holy Spirit, you know, those works, they're going to be so evident. And that is what he wants us to be so mindful of.
2 Corinthians, right?
2 Corinthians 5:10. Yep.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us, the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Thank you. So building properly takes us to these truths. You know, we abide in Christ, how we fellowship with him. When they told me to fellowship with him, I used to, because, you know, I have to put things in Spanish to make more clear for me, right? So, and when they told me I had to fellowship with Christ, and I was thinking, how do I fellowship with Christ? So in that, I begin to learn that when I fellowship with anybody, it takes conversation, it takes time, it takes, you know, getting to know the other person, and that is not only with the Lord, but that is with anybody. You know, when we like a friend, we like to spend time with him or with her, with our husbands. Remember at the beginning, maybe we couldn't wait to see them and talk to them. But then as the years go by, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, right now, you know? But then the Lord's the one that begins to restore the relationships, right? And my husband and I, we have been married almost 56 years. And, you know, sometimes it gets boring. So I told him, I said, we need to do something for our 55th anniversary. So he was being really sweet. So he made reservations at the Wildfire. Then we went to see this play. Well, in the middle of the play, we had to evacuate because it got on fire. So I thought, wow, now that was exciting. You know, and after 55 years, you know, everybody was moving really slow. You know, a lot of the people in the play, they were moving really slow, and I was thinking, good thing was not a serious fire because we would have never got out, right? So little by little, we are learning that our communication, the way we show to each other, is different than, you know, when it was 10 years, 15, 30, 40 years ago, right? So, and it's the same with and our abiding in Christ, our fellowship with him, our communing with him. You know, when we were kids, we came with excitement and, you know, what is the Lord going to say? But now as we grow, as we mature in him, then he's beginning to take us deeper and deeper and more seriously. Why? Because whatever he's putting in us, we're going to share with others. Whatever truth he's given us, we're going to share with others. And I don't know if it happens to you, but when you're with young people, they recognize what is fake and what is real, more than old people. You know, sometimes we can fool old people, but young people we can. You know, because I have heard my grandkids says, now that lady is real. And it's true, you know, and that's what the Lord wants us to be real in our relationship with him. So as we grow spiritually, we're building ourselves up in our faith and in truth. We are more intentional now about living our Christian life. Why? Because we also know that our works are going to be tested. So we're being more careful. So this careful building leads to rewards at the judgment seats of Christ, where the quality of every believer's work will be revealed by fire. So like I was telling you, I like to have confirmation on everything that I am reading. And part of everything that I have told you today, we also read in Ephesians 2:20. And she's ready. Tyrone.
Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone.
Thank you. And 1 Peter 2:5? She thinks she can see it. I don't know why she thinks she can see it. 1 Peter 2:5.
Keep talking a minute.
Okay, well, I'll read it. I'll have it here. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we have salvation, we have edification, we have sanctification, and glorification. That is the life as a believer. Right now, we're in the process of sanctification, fulfilling the commission of the Lord. At the beginning of this conversation, I said that the church was born to the mission of Christ. And I'm going to read this in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. And it says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console all who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This, when Jesus finished reading this in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, today, this prophecy was fulfilled. Because why? Because he came to fulfill this. And he's given us also a mission. And every single woman here, every single one, we have that mission. And look what it says, he has anointing us to preach the good news. Sometimes we think that, the pastor is standing here, or the leaders that they are teaching, they have it. We have it, each one of us have it. And you know when somebody needs a hug, when somebody needs somebody to listen, that's one thing that is so needy in the church, because most of us like to speak. We don't like to listen very much. But most people, what they need is a listening ear, right? So we, each one of us, have something to give, and it's every day the Lord has something. He says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I remember so many times my heart was broken. And I know that here many times, many of you have experienced that brokenness. You see, and what do we need in those days? With somebody to come and hold our hands and say, you're not alone. Am I preaching? No. I'm being real to that person. Also, he says to proclaim liberty to the captives. I remember when I was captive, I was in prison. Why? Because I couldn't forgive. Lack of forgiveness keeps us in prison. And we hold the key. We have the key. And that's what the Lord is giving us. He's giving us that purpose, that reason, that key. He says to open the prisons of those who are bound. You see, so we have the answer. Why? Because we have Jesus. He says he has given us. Now we can change the ashes for beauty. So many of us sometimes have suffered loss in many ways. We lost someone, or we got hurt, and sometimes it seems like at churches when we get hurt the most, but also a church should be the place where we help the most, and we love the most, and we hold each other the most. So, and how we can do all these things, we can do because the Holy Spirit in us is going to help us. In Galatians 5, verses 20, it talks about all the gifts of the Spirit. We have all of that. We have the fullness of the Spirit because of what Christ did for us. So ladies, each one of us have a mission, have a reason, and have a purpose. So let's help one another. You know, here we're united because of the Spirit. You know, and I recognize you as my sisters because of the Spirit of God in each one of us. So we thank God for the book of Acts and for everything that it was given to us in the book of Acts. So that was the end. Can I pray now? Like I say, I'm just thanking God because I was presenting it to him, you know, that he will accept us as the sacrifice. So, oh, Father, how we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Ladies, can you hold hands? Here, you can come and hold hands with me.
I don't know.
I know it's. Okay, so Father, how we're so grateful for your grace, for your mercy, for your provision. We're so grateful for your Son. We're so grateful for the Holy Spirit. We're so grateful for everything that you have given us, so we can live a life that is worthy of you. You didn't ask anything impossible, Lord. That's what you say. All things are possible for God. So here we are, Lord. All of us coming here to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. And also, Lord, we are here grateful for everything, but also asking you to open our eyes so we can see people the way you see them. We can hear them the way you hear them. And we can be for each one, Lord, what you know they need. Each one of us, we're needy people, Lord. First, we're in need of you. And then, Lord, we're in need of each other. You created us for fellowship. So, Father, we thank you for this group of women that they are coming to hear your word, to study your word, to be prepared to give. For it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, Father, I thank you for every woman here today. And I pray, Lord, your blessings over them. Only the way you know how to bless your children, Lord. And that's how we come. We come as your children, each one of us. We come before you saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for everything that you started, you are doing, and you will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So bold.
Now you warm me up.